church budget, did put some more in to provide one a month. So now, hey, if we're able to fill them all up, two a month, that's awesome. But if we can try to get at least one on there a month, there's, I think through June or July is up there, that would be really great. There's also a spot at the bottom where if you're not comfortable, which is totally fine, doing one on your own, so to speak. I mean, there's some groups, Sheila always talks to me about her group doing it, things like that, which is wonderful. And you want to pair up with some, team up with some people, if you just write your name and your email or phone number there, when we get like four or so on there, then there's a group right there that can do one. So we really have a wonderful time when we're back there. It's great time to continue praising God from our service. If we can get that filled up, that would be really awesome, guys. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Well, I'm feeling better. Thank you for your prayers. And just to do some prayer updates real quick, you've been praying for Jackie. She's doing well. She's been in the hospital. They've been taking care of an AFib problem that they had, plus she has pneumonia. So keep her in prayer. John Wilkes came home last night from the hospital. He went to have a catheterization, and they kept him because of fluids building up in his heart, around his heart, congestive heart failure. But he's home now, and he's doing well. So thank you for that. I know that there have been some emails for Lizzie. Lizzie had a twist in her colon again, and they were able to undo that, and she's still in the hospital because now it looks like she's developing pneumonia, so be praying for her. Trying to think. Tracy Stackhouse asked for prayer. She's having a surgery that's removing a mass this week, and just pray for that as she's going through that. And also that the results of that, because I don't know if they have to biopsy that, if there's results as a result of that that will follow. So continue to pray for that. Continue to pray for Pat Hershey with her back and problems there. I'm just gonna write out, ask, is there any prayer requests that you have or you know of that you would like to share? Anybody? Over here, Lisa. Okay.
So, yeah.
Nina. Okay. Yep. Yep. Pray for Nina. Anybody else?
My brother Earl is Phoebe. He's been there for 2 years now. He had a stroke, so he's paralyzed on his left side. So, and he's having a hard time of it. His ability to cope with it is getting pretty thin. And I pray for him every. I go see him every day. Him up, and I can only do so much.
Right.
But he needs a lot of prayers.
Yep. Yep, very good. We'll be praying for Earl, too. So, all right. Let's pray. Gracious Father, as we come before you, we thank you for your love for us. We exalt you and thank you that during these times of sicknesses where people have sinus infections and bronchitis and upper respiratory and bugs and flus and Father, we just ask that you would watch over us through these days. We thank you, Lord, that you are near to us. And I pray, Lord, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And knowing that you are taking care of our needs, we thank you for being your church family. Lord, we are adopted children of you. And we just are just so blessed to have relationship with you. To be able to have a relationship with one another and our sins forgiven. So, Father, we pray that you would bring healing, especially for those that have been in the hospital or going through procedures that are facing difficult days, at least during these times. Pray, Lord, that you would surround them and lift them up. Bring healing. Bring encouragement. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this day as we rejoice in you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to do scripture reading this morning. This is actually the scripture that we started out in last year at this time, Psalm 25. It's been a favorite little piece of scripture that all through the year I've gone back in my devotional time and did some time there. We're going to read through the passage twice, first in the New King James, and then we're going to do it in the Passion Translation, and then we're all going to end back in the Old King James. So as we go through these verses, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God,
I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me.
Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me
your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day.
Always I will lift up my soul into your presence, Yahweh.
Be there for me, my God, for I keep trusting in you. Don't allow my foes to gloat over me or the shame of defeat to overtake me. Could anyone
be disgraced when he has entwined his heart with yours? But my foes will all be defeated and ashamed when they harm me innocent.
Direct me, Yahweh, throughout my journey so I can experience your plans for my life. Reveal the life paths that are pleasing to you. Escort me into your truth.
Take me by the hand and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. I have wrapped my heart into yours all day long.
Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. On you we wait all the day. In the Old King James, it says, unto thee, O Lord. And so I requested for this song this morning. So.
And on that note, we're actually going to do a little something on the third verse. For those of you who know this song, there's an echo. So we're going to challenge the ladies to echo the men. And so when you hear that verse will be, show me thy ways. The men will sing, show me thy ways. And then the ladies will repeat the same thing, show me thy ways. We'll give it a whirl. And let's just worship our Lord together.
Unto thee, O Lord. Oh my God.
Something that is really important for us to do.
we need to be a church that doesn't just pray. We need to be a praying church. And one of the things that with the new year coming up, we have new offices and new officers. And so I want to, I'm just going to call out our new elders. And as I call your name, I'd like you to stand if you're here. Unfortunately, this is the time when we have the most sick people. So a lot of people aren't going to be here. But I would like, we're going to start with our elders, deacons, and deaconess first. And we're going to pray dedication for our new officers for the new year. Elders are Tom Schilling and Tom Hendricks. If you would stand. Huh, where'd they go? Okay. Kyle Hendricks, deacons. Patrick Benton. Mike Kaiser, Matt Paul, Jason Berwin. Are the Berwins here? Josh Schneider. Hey! And he's got little Harvey. Yay! Hey, this for me is first time to see the little guy. So congratulations. Ah, that's great. Nothing like being a dad, Josh. You know, when you hear daddy, there's just nothing like it. It's great. Yeah, it'll be here before you know it. Just wait. And then Bob White. Bob, if you'd stand. For the deaconess, we've got Lydia Grime, Jackie Berwin, Janice McKelvey. Did I say it right?
McKelvey.
Yeah, come on, stand up. Jackie Atkinson, Emma Mulligan, Amy Hendricks, and Peyton Martaccio. Okay. And so those that aren't here, we're going to, at some point, we're going to get a photographer and kind of get the groups together and get pictures so we can update our board out here. But as we are dedicating ourselves as elders and deacons and deaconess to serve the Lord. Elders, when asked what their job was in Acts 6:4, said our job is to shepherd the flock, feed the flock through the word of God, and to pray. And the deacons and deaconess in Acts chapter 6 were supposed to be people who were filled with the Spirit, or the evidence of Spirit, the Spirit of God working through their lives, and they were to serve. And the word that's used there in the Greek is diakonos, is where we get the name deacon, deaconess. And it means to be a servant, somebody kind of like when you go to a restaurant and you have a nice waiter or waitress, somebody who helps you, waits on you, and just in a very humble way serves the needs of the church. And that's the purpose for both of these leadership groups. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray dedication. And I'm going to ask if two people from the prayer team would be willing to pray aloud. Two people pray aloud for our leaders this morning. Would someone do that? Can I ask you to do that, Brenda? Since you head up to the team, can I have another person pray? Somebody be willing?
Sharon.
Sharon? Okay. You hand after you pray, you hand the microphone to Sharon. So, okay, let's pray.
All right. Loving Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for those who have taken upon themselves a willfulness to serve you in this way, Lord. Your word says to desire these offices is admirable, and Lord, but it is not something to take lightly. And so we just ask, Lord, that you will infuse your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just ask that you will watch over them. We know that our ways are not your ways and our thoughts are not your thoughts. And so we humbly come before you and ask that you will give them wisdom and guide them through every decision and choice and activity and whatever they put their hands to, Lord. Will you just bless and watch over, Lord? Be with them in their walks with you, Lord. May they draw closer to you and just know you experientially and not just with knowledge and intelligence. But Lord, we just ask this in the power of your son's name, Jesus.
I continue, Lord, to just lift them up to you. And I thank you, Lord, for just choosing these folks and give them the power, like Brenda said, Lord. Let it not be a burden to them. Let them know that they are doing this all for you, Lord. Lord, help them to just stay strong in you, that their roots would be deep in you, that they would be near to you and draw near to you when they are weak. Lord, you will lift them up and give them the strength that they need. Let them do it with joy in their heart to serve you, Lord, so that we can grow and do your will. Let this church be a light. Give them the, like Brenda said, the wisdom, and just guide their steps, Lord. Let them show them the way, teach them, and let them just trust in you, Lord, with all their heart. I thank you, Lord, again for this leadership, and just we praise you and thank you and ask you to just keep us strong and united as one. It's in Jesus' name I pray.
Now I'm going to let you guys sit. And well, when it comes to the next officers, we've got church clerk, we've got treasurers, we've got moderators, we've got budget committee person at large. That means they represent the church. We've got building committee and building committee people. We have ushers and counters. We have the video team and the worship team and children's ministry leaders and even church cleaners. I mean, we have so much going on that if I were to start calling out names, I'd miss somebody and then I'd hear about it. And we don't want to do that. But I want you to know that whatever position that you are coming into for this year is a serious but yet joyful opportunity for you to serve the Lord. So our whole congregation is going to stand. Come on. And we are going to dedicate all the new workers in our church, whether you're an usher, a counter, a greeter, a sound video committee person, a cleaner, the worship team, the treasurer, the church clerk, the missions committee, whoever you are, I'm going to pray for you right now. And I want you to be praying with others. So if you're near somebody and you can take a hand, and because we can't point out, but you can just take a hand with somebody and pray. Let's pray dedication for our whole church and our staff. So, Father, we do glorify your name, and your name be praised this morning. As Joshua of old said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, let that be our prayer right across our church family right now. As for me and
My
house, or put your name in there. I'm gonna do that. We're gonna do that right now, Lord. As when I pause, me and my, say your name. As for me and my, okay, I will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord, Father. And we just thank you for that. Lord, help us to seek first your kingdom. And as Colossians says, whatever we do in word or deed, our actions, that we do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And we just ask and pray dedication upon our church ministry this year. As the scripture says in John 15, verse 5, that without you, Jesus, we can do nothing. And so, Father, we at this moment, we choose to yield ourselves to be able to serve in ministry for your glory and your grace, no matter what our part is, that, Lord, you would bless it. And we ask this dedication in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's continue with our worship.
And we have a lot to thank and praise him for, so let's shout it out.
My Jesus, my Savior, for there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, whenever
goodness of God. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And children, you are dismissed for children's church.
In your Bibles to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Can you trust God with your life?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Missionary Charles L. T. Studd wrote this hundreds of years ago, and it applies still today. He said, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let me say it again. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ shall last. It's a saying that I actually had learned in my youth because it was on the wall. I don't know where my mom and dad ever found the plaque, but it was a wooden plaque that just sat on the wall, and it had that phrase. One of the things that I really appreciate about my mom and dad is that all through their growing Christian life, and I was able to see them baptized when I was a kid, when they came to faith. They were baptized in a little fishing creek in Benton, Pennsylvania. I remember seeing my mom and dad's growing life. My mom and dad weren't the perfect parents, but they were growing. And they're growing in the things of the Lord. And they had gotten this plaque, and they put it on the wall, and they would also host missionaries and guests for the pastor, because we were a small country church, and Jackson Baptist Church, and we didn't always have room for when a guest missionary would come. And so they would host missionaries all the time, and that's something that I value in my life. So I was thinking about this week as I was going through a time of just rest because of my sickness. And I remembered the plaque that was on the wall. And I remembered that there's an old song that was written by Baptist lyricist Lenny Wolfe on that plaque. And it's called Only One Life. And these are the words to the hymn that he wrote, or the Christian song that he wrote. It matters so little how much you may own, the places you've been or the people you know, for it all comes to nothing when placed at his feet. Nothing to Jesus, just memories to keep. You can take all the treasures from a faraway land and take all the riches you can hold in your hand and take all the pleasures your riches can buy, but it will help. It will not help when it's time to die. The days pass so swiftly, the months come and go. The years will melt away like new fallen snow. Spring turns to summer and summer to fall. Autumn brings winter when death will come to call. Only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do his will. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays when you recall you have but one life. As we review this year of 2024, and we remember what God has done for us, I just want to bring those words to our application of review this morning. It's my desire to share with you by going back to Psalm 25, where our church verse is found, in verses 4 and 5. And to be able to take a few words from this psalm and break down the psalm from our church verse, if you see it on the wall. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truths and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. That's the NIV. In the King James, you'll notice this morning, it was and I will wait on you all day long. And so that's why during the beginning of the year, our theme for 2024 was strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. And I try to get a word or phrase, and the phrase I wanted was hope that the NIV translates in this verse. Hope for tomorrow, hope. But in the translating of that verse, it's a complex compound word because it really means awaiting hope. It means hope that you're waiting for. That's why the King James has wait, I wait on the Lord. In the translation that I was reading from this morning, you may not have noticed, but instead of using the word hope or wait, they use the word entwine, because the Hebrew word where we take waiting and hope is kavah. And it means to take threads, and it means to twist them, kind of like while you're braiding, like a weaver weaving a carpet, or a rug maker who is making a rug, or a knitter who's knitting a sweater. You take the threads and you move them around, and you kind of pull them together to make a pattern, to make a covering in your life. And that's the same word is found in our verse here. This idea of my hope is in you all day long is the idea that I am twisting and entwining my life, my hopes, my dreams, my everything around you, Lord, around your word and around your promises. And I'm going to wait for you to fulfill those things for me. And so that's where we got our verse for the year. Notice that we've had it broken down. Show me your ways, teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and I hope in you. And so I want to take those four thoughts, and I just want to give you four thoughts from the psalm as we talk about what the Lord did this year. And as I go through each one of these, I'm going to stop, and we're going to review in pictures and song what the Lord did. And the hard thing for me is that I wish I had a camera every time that something happened in our life, but it's just not there. Aren't you glad I don't follow you around like paparazzi and pop out behind your closet, you know, from your closet and take your picture? Ah, gotcha. You know, we'll use this for the year in review. You know, I don't do that for you. I can't always see how God is answering prayer for you. But I can show you the events that took place through our church that people sent pictures and God sightings. Remember how we did God sighting testimonies all year? People had been sending me pictures and things all year. So I took those and I put them in the year in review. So as we get, we're going to do it in four parts. As we get through the verse, we're going to start with point one of this verse. Show me thy ways, O Lord, or show me yourself, it says in Psalm 25, verse 4. See it? Show me your ways, O Lord. I just need to talk about what this phrase means. If you look at this phrase as, oh, Lord, just show me what to do, you're not getting what this phrase is about. The idea here is that the Lord, he wants to show you himself. We want to look at the Lord, God, Jehovah. We want to look at our three-in-one God. We want to look at Christ. We want to look at the Spirit of God. And we want to understand his attributes, his character, his ways. We want to gather his promises. So all year, as we have looked to the Lord, we've said, Lord, show me yourself. Show me that you're working in my life. And that's what David, the psalmist, is doing here. He's saying, show me your ways, O Lord. Show me who you are. So often in verse 1, if you go back, it says, to you, Lord, David says, I lift up my soul. I love that verse. I love that phrase. And that's why I wanted to sing that old 80s tune that I learned when I was in youth group. Unto thee, O Lord, will I lift up my soul. Because in the Old Testament, when you would take a sacrifice to be offered to the Lord, they would take it to the tabernacle or the temple, and the priests would take your offering, and they had to lift it up onto the brazen altar. And so the motion is seen in the verse of, I will take something of my life, Lord. And I bring it to you as worship. And because I honor who you are, because you're showing yourself to me. So I'm going to take this thing of my life. I'm going to lift it up to you, oh my God, because I trust in you. And I'm going to lay it on the altar. And so when I think of this first phrase, show me your ways, O Lord, I think of the ways that God shows himself to us. And our response is that of worship. That I lift up my soul to you. What is a soul? Well, that's you. It's your problems. It's the things you're struggling with in your thought life. It's the things that you meet from day to day. It's the decisions you make. It's the faith that you express. It's everything about you and who you are. And isn't that a lovely picture? Lord, every day of my life when I come to you, I lift up my care to you. I lift up my problem to you. I lift up this area of my life to you so I can trust you. And that's the offering that we bring to the Lord when we show him ourselves. When we show him ourselves. So, Lord, what did you show me this year is the question we should be asking. What did the Lord show you this year? Did he show how faithful he was to you? Did he show, like our song, how good he was to you? When Lori and I sing that song, it's hard to keep the tears away. There's so many things that have happened, especially with my mom passing away, and so many different things that have happened in our lives in the last year that's the reason why I wanted us to sing that song. I love the part in the song where it says, "Your goodness is running after me." See, my grandkids have a game with Pop-Up. Because they don't have a house that has a round circle like our house, our parsonage up there. You can go from the dining room, you can run into the kitchen and around into the living room and come right around the stairway and back into the dining room again. And so I always get this Pop-Up, and I even got it this weekend. "Pop-Up, I have a great idea," says Oliver. "Let's play You Try to Catch Us." Okay, let's play that. And you give us a head start. Ready, set, go. And they run, and I run double back and stand in the stairway. And when they come around, I grab them, and we play the game. And when we get to that, "Your goodness is running after me," that's what I think of in my mind when it comes to God and you. That just like Pop-Up running after his boys, catching them up in his arms and having joyfulness with them. God's goodness is chasing after us throughout our day, throughout our year, throughout our trial, throughout our suffering. And we just want to be caught in his loving arms. And we want to be reassured. So as we start this first PowerPoint, "Show me your ways, O Lord." We're going to look at from January to about Easter time, and we're going to see how God did that in showing himself to us. So go ahead and run that first PowerPoint. You can turn the lights off if you want.
Truth.
us your ways, O Lord. Now look in Psalm 25, the next part, verse 4. Teach me your paths. The thing I love about this part of the scripture is the first part, show me your ways, is that we learn who God is and what he wants for our lives. We need that then to direct our lives. The idea of teach here is the words for someone who is a disciple, someone who is a committed student. And certainly we as believers are all committed students of God's word. We want to be able to take the word of God. It needs to be our nourishment. It needs to be the thing that helps us in our lives. It needs to be the thing that we need most. When we starve ourselves from the food of God's word, we are robbing ourselves of the nourishment that we need. We all need the milk of the word. We all need to grow mature in Christ so that we have the meat of the word. And certainly that's what we are asking the Lord to do. Not just this last year, but when did God teach you from his word this year? What lessons did he teach you? I know that the idea of providence is the everyday dullness, fate of everything that we do. Yet God is active and not distant in providence. The providence means the things that God ordains for us, the ways and the pathways that he works in our lives, even when we don't see the miraculousness of it. And four things that I learned, especially this year, that I think I probably share with many of you, is that when David says, "Oh my God, I trust in you," let me not be ashamed, verse 2. Let not your enemies triumph over me. Think about David's life. Think about all the things that he learned in life. You don't just learn everything in your life in one moment, but it takes the moments of suffering and the moments of working in your life, even when you sense God's presence there and even when you don't. And what God does is in those moments when we need him most are the moments that we need to be listening to his teaching. There are four things that I feel that God has taught me this year through his providence. And the first one is God's providence always helps us through our suffering. When you look at Job, remember Job's words, though he slay me, yet I will what? Trust him. Because when we go through times of suffering, James tells us that it is a joyful time. Not in the pain do we rejoice in, but we rejoice in the fact that there are things in our lives that God is taking through the fire and pulling the impurities out of it so that our faith becomes as gold. You may have had some very difficult times this year, and it might have been suffering. But God is there to prove himself and help you. God's providence always helps us through suffering. Remember how Isaiah said back in Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3, when I go through the waters, that you are there. When I go through the fire, you are with me. And certainly the things that the Lord has taught me this year most were in those times of suffering. Secondly, God's providence assures us of his presence. You know, we always think of the words of Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you. And I always like to put my name in there. You know, when I was a little kid, I made sure that I was a sufferable brat to my sister. I picked on my sister so much that I would never let her go a day without knowing I was there. Okay, you know, this was my job. It was my giftedness as a child. But you know what? The same is true about Jesus and his promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many times have we gone through something and we're like, God, why did you let this happen? And where are you? Just because we don't sense his presence doesn't mean that he is far from us. But when we go through difficult times of suffering, God's providence assures us that Christ is with us. His providence helps us through the suffering. He assures us of his presence. And sometimes when we go through difficult times, God's providence includes a redemptive purpose. He always has a purpose for us, something that he wants to teach us. And then fourthly, God's providence reassures us that his promises are true and he will keep his promise. When God promises that he is working in Romans 8, 28 and 29, all things for your good, did you see that happen this year? In our next part, we're going to take that idea of, Lord, teach me your paths. What paths did God lead you through this year? As we look at the next part of our year in review, what paths did God take you through? Just like looking at that screen, and I'm thinking, you see the part where people have walked on that path. Maybe you can look back into your year and you can be like, yeah, I remember that path. I remember God taking me through that time in my life. And as we review this part, just ask yourself, God, what paths did you guide me through this last year? So go ahead, Patrick.
Through the winds of raging trials, every struggle, every pain, you're the torch of holy fire, burning through my doubt and shame. Neither high nor deepest valley, there is no created thing with the power to separate us from the love of our
God moment the whole year was that Sunday after I started that message series on revival, and you guys brought your umbrellas and you absolutely blew me out of the water. I can't tell you what a thrill my heart was, because you taught me faith. You taught your pastor faith, that we need to have faith and pray that God does great and mighty things. And we can't stop praying for those great and mighty things. And I hope that you're doing that, because God is showing us his ways. He's teaching us his paths. Here's the third thing. Look at verse 4 or 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Now that's the part where when we are making decisions in our lives as we go down the road, God is there and he is helping us in the decisions we make. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your paths. And this is the third part, the idea of that in all the decisions and things that God did for you, maybe there's a moment that you can give praise to God for. Maybe there's a moment that God was working and in certain ways. Maybe you had an opportunity to share Christ with a friend. Or maybe you had an opportunity to be praying for someone and seeing them come to church. I hope that God continues to guide you because we need his direction. We need his ways. Why? Because we always have two things working against us. We have an outward enemy and we have an inward old self of that's like Adam, our fleshliness, our fallenness. You know, when we fall to the temptations that come our way, it's because we're fighting the old self. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 that even though we're dead to sin, we have to constantly be giving, Romans 12, our lives as a living sacrifice on that altar. And David kind of shows the same struggle in his life when he says in verse 3, let no one who waits on the Lord be ashamed. Let those who are ashamed be ashamed who deal treacherously with me. Because he's saying, Lord, let me not be ashamed because of the things I struggle with inside. And then he's saying, and Lord, when it comes to the enemy that's outside of me, don't let them triumph over me either. Have there been times this year when things happened and you kind of looked at it and you wondered, am I going to get through this? And yet God helps us through. There's no temptation, it tells us in 1 Corinthians, that takes us that God is not faithful and he provides the way through. So if we look at the third part of the year, we're going to start, I think we left off June. I left off at June. Thank you. Left off at June, and we're going to take it from July all the way through September, and we're going to see some great things that God did in helping us and teaching us the right path. So here we go.
They haven't seen what You said, I believe. You said, it is done. You said, I believe. You said, it is done. Can you help me sing?
You said,
so I hope they're bringing back some good memories. Don't you miss Raphael? I'll never forget. He just visited our church, and then one of the first testimony times for God sighting, Cliff, love you, Cliff, stands up and goes, I want everybody to be introduced to my new friend, Raphael. I thought Raphael would never come back. And praise God he did, right? You know, and now the Lord, I've heard from Raphael. He's he and his dad are in Alabama, and they're doing well. They got a new house. And I don't know if they're coming back up for the summer, but it would be great if they did and visited us again. But again, God does some great pathways in our lives. So how did the Lord this last year show you his ways? What did he teach you? How did he guide you? And last thing is, keep us hoping, Lord, and trusting in you. You know, at the close of the service, we're going to sing the grand old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And the gentleman who, his name was Thomas. Now I'm going to do it again. Chisholm. And when he was a young man, he was born in 1866. He was born in Kentucky. He's kind of a story like Abraham Lincoln. He grew up in a little town. When he was 16, he became the teacher of the local teacher at the school and the editor of the newspaper. When he was 21, he accepted the Lord as his personal Lord and Savior. In 1903, he met a gal and they became married. But it was soon after that that his health declined and he began to struggle in so many different ways. In 1923, when he was one of the lowest points of his life, he wrote the words to the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We've all gone through those difficult times in our lives, and we don't give up hope. The idea of waiting on the Lord is that every day of our lives, we get up and we say, God, I don't just hope that you're going to come, but I'm going to wrap and entwine my heart around your promises, and I'm going to believe, and I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep hoping and hoping and hoping. And see, God's going to did that for us last year. And so in this last portion, we're going to look at October all the way to the end of the year. And you're going to see some pictures that you haven't seen of Christmas. So be watching for them. All right? So let's go ahead and show the last of the year.
Follow Jesus on the road.
Shadows of my soul. is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom?
Well, that's our year in review. Did you see yourself in there? So what are we expecting for 2025? Well, our theme this year is called Becoming Deeply Rooted and Abiding Nearer to Jesus, or Nearer to Christ. And I've been talking about the idea of being rooted, deeply rooted, the trellis and the vine, for over a year now, and I figured it's about time we get there. So our prayer is going to be, as we go into the word that I want to give you for this year, is sustainability. Sustainability. I would like your nickname to be Mr. and Mrs. Steadfast as you grow in the things of the Lord. But sustainability, it's the idea of God's giving us what we need to sustain us and keep growing us. And he is working that for our lives this year. Our verses this year are John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I love those words. I love the fact that my Savior loves me and chose me and wants me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, not just pastor, not just the elders or the deacons and the deaconess, but you. You have some fruit coming this year, and God's going to grow you, and you're going to produce fruit for Jesus this year. Are you excited about that? Are you happy about that? Oh, not me. Oh, no, not me. I just move along in my Christian life. No, God's got some choice fruit for you. Some of you are going to get some fruit. Some of you are going to get much fruit. Some of you are going to get lots of loads of fruit. You're going to have so much fruit dumped on you that you're not able to carry it all. And God is going to do that. God's working in our lives in great ways. He says, goes on in the verse to say that you should bear fruit and your fruit will remain. That's the word abide. In other words, it's going to stay. It's not going to go away. That whatever you ask the Father in prayer in my name, he will give you. Aren't you looking forward to some wonderful things this year? That God is going to work in our hearts. Listen, the question is, can I trust him with my life? Can I trust him with my life? When I was last Sunday, I was asking myself, what am I going to do for church while I was praying for you, kind of in prayer closet ministry, praying last week for Peter, my friend Peter from our hub, and praying for you and just asking God to work in your hearts and lives. And I was like, man, I don't like canned church. I really don't. I like to be live. And so what I did was I started rooting around in a box of old 33 records, and I found a record that was made when I was at BBC. And the record was of the cantata Go Tell Your World. And as I was listening to the record and listening to voices and seeing the names of old friends, there was an old song that played, and it goes like this. There are many things that I'd like to know as I look down this road of life ahead of me. And I don't seem to know the answers just the way I want, but I know my Lord of all, and he knows everything. How could I doubt him for a moment when he is my source? Can I trust him with my life? Yes, I know I can. Put my trust in Jesus all the way. Can I trust him with my life? Yes, I will. There are many questions, great or small. I go to God just like I do with everything. And I don't always find the answers just the way I want, but I know he's Lord of all, and he knows everything. How could I doubt him for a moment when he is my strength? Can I trust him with my life? Yes, I know I can. Knowing that he cares and his love is true. Jesus saved me when I trusted him. Jesus helps me when I needed him. Now he keeps me right from wrong. Can I trust him with my life? Yes, I can. And that's what our prayer is for the year to come. God, grow deep roots in our lives. Help us to stay close to you and learn what abiding is. One of the things that I am going to be doing in our family hour is this booklet. This is a training course that I actually picked up at Keswick. The men at the Colony of Mercy, when they first go to Keswick, do this book. This is a transformational life book on how to live a life of abiding in Jesus. And if you're a new Christian, and this is the course for you. So if you would get the word out that at our 9 o'clock hour, this is what we're going to be doing for the next 20 weeks. We're going to be doing how to live and grow and abide and grow deep in the things of Jesus. And somebody said, well, how much do the books cost? Well, I already got the books. So I'm going to have a basket back there. If you have a dollar, if that's all you can afford, throw a dollar in the basket. If you can throw $5, if you can throw $10, you can throw it in that basket. But don't not come because, oh, I can't afford the book. I trust that if you do come and you do go through this series with us, you're going to enjoy it. It's going to go along with our series, and we're going to be starting out next week talking about John 15, the vine and the trellis, how to have a growing life, and let's see that fruit come. And so I just want you to begin planning for the growth that God has for you this year in 2025, because guess what? Without him, we can do nothing. And can you trust him with your life? Yes, you can. What do you need to trust him with this morning? What do you need to trust him with? Almighty, infinite Father, we come to you today and confess our weaknesses, but we thank you that you have chosen to love desperate sinners like ourselves. Your love, determination, and power rescues us and makes us your children. Continue to show us who you are. Continue to guide and direct our paths in 2025. Father, thank you for the hope that anchors our lives to your living promises found in your word today. We lift up our souls and surrender our future doubts, our worries, our fears, the things that we can't handle that are going to happen this year. We thank you, Spirit of God, for your great faithfulness. Remind us that while we are living here on this earth, we will continue to be a weak person unless we learn to abide in you. Draw us closer and help us trust you with our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' wonderful name, and God's people said, amen. We're going to close our service by singing that wonderful hymn. Sing it with all your heart. Sing like it's the last thing you're going to do on this earth before you step off into glory. Great is thy faithfulness.
Change is not.
today. Just like David lifting up a sacrifice of praise and exaltation, we lift up our cares, our burdens, our sorrows, our problems, our joys, our happiness, our trial. Father, we just lift them all up to you. Father, thank you for showing us your ways and who you are. Thank you for your presence that teaches and guides us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the paths that you've given to us. And also, Father, thank you for the hope that anchors us. Lord, as we go forth into this new year, draw us closer, deeper abiding, closer to you. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. You're dismissed.